Laura.
So this is question number two we're on now. All right. Is Urban Shield strictly an emergency preparedness program? That's what I want to speak to.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Laura Mignani with the American Friends Service Committee. And I guess I don't agree. I don't agree that it's an emergency preparedness program because of the requirement about the terrorism nexus. As long as the framework for how we're responding to emergencies is seen through the lens of terrorism, it's going to be fear-based, it's going to be based on a law enforcement approach rather than the whole community. And even though there's nice language in here about the whole community, I don't think it's possible for it to play out that way. I think we know already, and all the studies show, that the biggest threats to our community are things like earthquake and fire emergencies. And if the primary source of funding for training between the departments has to go through the lens of terrorism, I don't think we can get where we need to get. It's really scary to think about dealing with everything through that lens. And we're already seeing what's happening as a result. So that is my concern about this
framework and about that question. Thank you. Tracy? Rosenberg? Michael Yoshi?
Yes. Year. Michael Yoshi, pastor of this United Methodist Church in Alameda. In regards to the question about Urban Shield strictly being an emergency preparedness program, I don't think so. And in the conversations I've had in the city of Alameda, yesterday I had a conversation with the director of the library, which is part of the whole emergency preparedness program in the city of Alameda. There's no connection at all to Urban Shield. And it's obvious that Urban Shield was developed in response to the RFP that came out of UASI, which is designed in particularly for emphasis on response to terrorism. So, and I think what I've heard in people talking in this process as well is that there's been an admission that's been the driving point of it. So this has not been a program developed for an expansive, comprehensive emergency preparedness from different departments, and there may have been some good things developed along the way, but there needs to be more of a buy-in, I believe, of different agencies for comprehensive emergency. As a clergy person, I want to share with you that we in the faith community do our own emergency preparedness too, our trainings as well. We have a network of doing that, and we should be involved in whatever's taking place as well. In the 1989 earthquake, Taylor Methodist Memorial Church in West Oakland was command central, but was taking place as the freeway collapsed, and we were there providing pastoral care for people who were traumatized by the events and giving support to people even as bodies were being taken off the freeway at a particular point in time. We had our national agency, United Methodist Committee on Relief, it's one of the biggest relief agencies in the world, to come to provide relief services at that particular time. So I believe that's that issue, that there does need to be a more comprehensive view to what it is.
All right, thank you. Brian Bickman. Brian? My apologies.
Brian, could you step to the microphone, please?
This may be a little off, and this may be because I'm a little sick. I may be a little off. Please give my individualism, a person who is working alone, instead of that. With that said, it's my humble feeling that emergency preparedness programs and earthquake programs in Central California, they're starting to base themselves now on earthquake preparedness and all these great things that we're hopefully talking about. It's my hope that we're not exchanging, you know, the past 15 years of war and its secrecy and its opacity and how we're building our country at that time. We're not trading that, in keeping all of this opaque and vague from the public with new emergency preparedness training programs. I'm fearful of what is happening in Central California. I just thought I'd put that out there, and I'm not exactly sure, but just be aware. Thank you.
Thank you. Last one, Sheree.
Hi, my name is Sharif. I'm at the Arab Resource and Organizing Center. As far as this being a community preparedness, I think, as it was said earlier, with the nexus on terrorism, this does not adequately deal with any emergency preparedness that we actually need. The fact is that there have been more Americans who have died at the hands of law enforcement than of foreign terrorists. Also, when we talk about like emergencies like housing, when we talk about earthquakes, environmental or economic disasters, there's no real adequate way to deal with those. And as someone who is a part of the Arab and Muslim community, it's very disingenuous for a city to claim that they support our community, that they support policies like sanctuary, while simultaneously using programs like these to actually use weapons and tools that were used on people that look like me in our homelands to be brought here to use with law enforcement and other first responders here. So I would say that as long as there's a nexus to terrorism, this is not an adequate community preparedness program.
All right, thank you. So we will move on to question two. So for question two, in terms of the draft response, is Urban Shield strictly an emergency preparedness program? The draft that I wrote was yes, with room for improvement in implementing the FEMA whole community approach to emergency management through activities for preparedness, crisis response, and community and economic recovery. Preparedness is defined by the National Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, as a continuous cycle of planning, organizing, training, equipping, exercising, evaluating, and taking corrective action in an effort to ensure effective coordination during incident response, and a shared responsibility. It calls for the involvement of everyone, not just the government, in preparedness efforts. By working together, everyone can help keep the nation safe from harm and help keep it resilient when struck by hazards such as natural disasters, acts of terrorism, and pandemics. Because the federal UASI grant program's objective is to assist high-threat, high-density urban areas in efforts to build, sustain, and deliver the capabilities necessary to prevent, protect against, mitigate, respond to, and recover from acts of terrorism, and 25% of the grant is to be used by law enforcement, Urban Shield activities have focused mainly on training and exercises for law enforcement, but have expanded to include first responders, first responders and other emergency management personnel. It has also recently implemented Gray Command, and I should have also said Green Command, to include some activities for community preparedness. The Urban Shield Task Force remains unclear on both the determination and application of the threat hazard indications and risk assessment theorem in drafting exercise scenarios, prioritizing capability targets and gaps, and selecting capabilities to be tested and gaps to be addressed each year and over multiple years.